RTI.
Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to a special edition of Postcard from Poprad. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, and you lovely people on Audio Boo as well. You are totally stunning. On the zit of the nose of Europe, as always, it is Lee Banks.
Hello, it's me.
Yes, it's you. But I've got something much better for you in the studio, boys and girls, because I've got beauty in the studio, whereas I only have to look at the grey person on screen, which makes my life so much better. Welcome, Naomi.
Hello.
She's back.
Hello,
after...
Hello, Naomi.
Hi, Lee.
Did you admit to knowing Lee?
Yeah.
Do you? Is it painful?
Sometimes it can be, yeah.
That's a terrible slur. Nothing's ever happened like that between us.
Anyway.
Anyway, it's Beauty and the Beast in the studio, Lee.
Oh, ha, 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 ha. You're just jealous.
Which one do I mean?
Oh, that's not nice.
Lee, you want to watch yourself, love?
Yeah, you're dead. First of all, to put this all into context for people who weren't here 2 years ago, Naomi, you just explain why this is your second trip to Aqua City in Poprad.
My first trip was a bit emotional, to say the least. I was here through a lovely gent called Jan Talensky, who gave me a trip out here after experiencing bereavement, the loss of my boyfriend that had been killed in Afghan back in 2009. Mm. And I'm back here now just to see the place in a bit of a clearer light. And just recuperate again.
Well, what's been happening in the last 2 years of your life then? Because all I'm thinking of, there must be, and in fact there will be, people out there who've been through tragedies because of the Superstorm Sandy, for example.
Yep.
And it's not dissimilar to what you had to go through. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting here smiling.
Yeah.
I don't know whether she's laughing at me, boys and girls, or genuinely smiling, whichever way around. And you've definitely sort of come through this.
Mm.
I'm sure none of it ever goes away.
No.
But so what's been happening to make your life change?
Lots. where to start? After leaving Slovakia, I think it really made me realise that there are a lot of people out there that are genuinely kind-hearted people, Jan Talensky being one of them.
Lee, she didn't mention you or me?
You two are the comedy side of it.
Girl, Eric. Wait,
I am not an Essex girl. I am from Sussex. Watch it.
That's worse. That only means
Sussex is
sauce.
Better. Far better, I'll have you know.
Sussex.
Yes, Sussex. It's in the south as well, Lee.
Where the
for those
lot still exists.
Oh, you want to watch it? I'll be back in the UK soon. I mean, I've done a lot of charity work. I just threw myself into work. I went to a lot of charity events through Jan Talensky as well.
Mm-hmm.
I met someone new. I've done a lot of grieving, and I think I took a look at the way my life was and realised that it needed a lot of changes for me to become happy again.
Because you're only a youngster, for goodness sake.
I'm 28 now, yeah.
Oh, that's old, isn't it? Yeah, right. Let's just make Lee and I feel ancient. I'm 28.
I'm only a few years older than that myself.
Plus an extra 20.
And a little bit more.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you, Niall.
So you've really got yourself back on track.
Yes, yeah. Work was, for me, one of my biggest things that I needed to throw myself back into. Mm. I wasn't doing particularly great. I was just a bit of a plodder, just doing my day-to-day things, and really sort of just threw myself back into it with the help of my colleagues and my management back at...
Give them a mention.
Ace European Group.
Yes, give them a nice big mention.
Ace
European.
You know, mm-hmm. they're a very supportive company, and they did help me massively through the times. And then I've also got a lot of friends, which were a massive support for me.
Hmm.
And then my dad, the best man on the planet for me, was there all of the time.
Oh.
And obviously since then I've met someone new, and it's great. Things are getting back on track. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are still days where I sit there and I'll have a bit of a sob to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, you will do,
you know,
you?
To look at where I was 2.5-3 years ago,
yeah.
I was in a state and I thought life couldn't go on.
Mm.
now I look at things and I think, in some sort of sadistic way, I'm grateful that it's happened, because it's made me a stronger person. It's made me realise that life is too short. Mm-hmm. And you've just got to really push yourself through these things to get through to the other side and make things better for you.
And, of course, you've had chats with Lee as well, haven't you?
I have.
We've had a few chats, yeah. I just want to say quite seriously, though, what Naomi's just said is absolutely right. And I've known you since the beginning, and I've seen you change from someone who was very vulnerable and obviously, and no reason not to be, absolutely devastated by what had happened in your life. Mm. And over when she actually visited my house, Eric.
What?
Yes, Naomi visited my house.
You are a brave girl.
I know.
Yeah. Did you see the 6-foot shark?
I did.
Yeah, I was here. Of course I was here.
No, you're a 5-foot nothing. No, never mind.
Yeah.
No, but even then, the scars were still visible. But mm-hmm. over when we met again a few weeks ago, you could see the change and the strength, like you talk about. And everybody's life has awful things happen in it. And I think what Naomi just said is an inspiration to us all, mm-hmm. that you do need to pick yourself up. You do need to face what's happened. And you do need to get on with your life, because that's the only thing you've got.
Mm. Mm, absolutely.
Massively.
Yeah. But you do look terribly different now. You look more happy in your face as well, which is wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
I do. And I think, again, for me, work was my thing. I needed to find something that I was good at and that I could throw myself into. And that was almost the thing that I used the most to get me through my emotions, something that I could just do something and do something really well. Mm. And I've done that. And since then, it's just made me grow as a person massively.
So why did you choose to come back to Aqua City? Apart from to see me, of course. Ho, ho, ho.
Because it was just, it was my starting block. Aqua City is where my recovery, if you like, started, and I just wanted to see if it brought back any old emotions. And not only that, but it's just a stunning place to be. It really is an amazing place to be. And this time around, I brought one of my friends back. Well, yeah. I brought two friends, but one of my friends had already come with me last time. So, and it was just to sort of show off, really, as well.
Yeah, we have to say hello to Veronica and Charlie, don't we?
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
And then, seriously, boys and girls, she said, you got to come and see me. Well, not quite like that. but kind of like that. And we're going to the cafe bar.
Yeah.
And you have to visualise this, boys and girls, because this is not me being a bad person. This is not me being a bad person. In Aqua City, you can walk around with your swimming clothes on with a bathrobe, can't you?
Correct.
And people do. So I'm sitting in the cafe bar with these three gorgeous girls in their bathrobes, and in walks the boss. Well, his face was a picture. He said, I might have guessed, three young beautiful ladies and an Eric.
Yeah.
And I just thought, marvellous. You can't win, can you? And an Eric, like, I'm the beast of the four people sitting there. But it was lovely chatting, and he had a little chat with you as well.
Yeah.
And then they tried, boys and girls, if you ever come to Slovakia, they tried some Tokaj wine.
Yeah.
Lovely, wasn't it?
Yes,
Tokaj is wonderful.
I felt a little bit dizzy after finishing off the bottle, but
that's the mountain air, dear.
Yeah, I'll stick with that.
They did. They finished the bottle off as well, and I couldn't have any because I was driving. Marvellous.
Shame.
They didn't even put any in a doggy bag for me.
Can I just say something very quickly about Aqua City that ties in with what Naomi's just said?
Well, you're about to now, otherwise you completely wreck the programme.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm a professional, I know these things.
Yeah, professional's going a bit far.
It's like these people who come on the radio and go, can I just say hello to my Uncle Lee? Well, it's a bit late, you've done it now, haven't you?
All right, if you don't want me to.
Go on, then.
Quickly, like Naomi was saying, that something happened at Aqua City, and Aqua City is a magical place. I don't know what it is. I was there about 5 years ago, and I'd been through some sort of traumatic things myself. Nothing to compare with what you'd been through, Naomi. But you know, my own traumas, and I never actually thought I'd feel properly happy again. And there was just one morning, I
got up at I was in one of the rooms at the hotel, and looked out the windows, and there was the High Tatras Mountains, and there it was cold, it'd been snowing, and the air was so crisp and beautiful. And I remember just turning to Andrea, I said, "You know what? Standing here, I can feel inside for the first time in 2 years. I actually feel a clean, fresh happiness, and I'm never going to let that go." And that, inexplicably, is what Aqua City can do for you.
Mm. Yeah, and the surroundings as well, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is the surroundings. And people laugh at me when I say, when you actually get to Poprad, if you could imagine coming down the road and you've got two bags of sugar on each shoulder, like a couple of kilos on each shoulder, you get here and then somebody takes the bags of sugar away.
Mm.
You know, there's no pressure on you at all, and it is wonderful. We're going to have to move on, but wonderful to see you again.
Yep.
Don't leave it so long next time.
I won't.
She's been nagging me this morning, Lee.
Yeah, well, that's the way she is now. Yes. She's a bit of happiness, nagging.
Nagging woman.
I'll keep you two in check.
Do you know what? You should come on here more often.
You're in Slovakia.
I probably should, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll have you back. In fact, you'll have to have a word with your boss, because we record at your lunchtime.
Yeah.
So we could have a little word with your boss and find out what you're like at work.
Yeah. Oh, God, you really wouldn't want to do
that. Now, that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it, Lee?
Well, I'm up for that.
Yeah, I think so too. Right, we'll take a quick jingly thing, boys and girls. Be back very shortly. Naomi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
RTI.
Welcome back to Postcard from Poprad, boys, because wasn't that amazing? Hang on a minute, got a message. Naomi!
Yoo-hoo!
Oh, she's gone.
Oh. You missed her?
She's gone back to
Aqua City. Showing off because you got it on silent.
No, she's gone back to Aqua City. In which case, because she's gone to get a plane. In which case, I'll do it here. I have a message for you, Naomi. Next year, when you come back to Aqua City, the holiday is on Jan Talensky. So give me a call. You've got a present. Next year, holiday's on Jan. How about that? Can't be three bad. Staying with the military for a moment, and as Naomi said, she's been doing lots of charitable work, and these guys do this as well. The Royal British Legion, amazing organisation for both young and old soldiers, those that are in combat today, those that were in the military years and years ago. This year on the 11th of the 11th of the 11th. Don't forget it. Make sure...
That's all the fat ladies, isn't it?
No, that's a serious thing, your Nana. It's a point at which the fallen heroes are remembered. And this year...
Oh, I know. Yes, sorry. Yeah.
It's because it's the old Cenotaph Day in the UK.
Of course it is.
And there's 2 minutes silence. And we want you to respect that. And the Royal British Legion are actually using a piece of software to allow Twitter and Facebook users to simultaneously send the same message. And the message is, I'll be remembering the fallen at 11 o'clock. And they will hashtag it 2 minutes silence and hashtag lest we forget. And it will be sent out at 9 o'clock or 9 a.m. GMT on Remembrance Sunday this week. And I wish them all the best with their poppy appeal. I wish they get thousands and millions in from it. Good luck to all of you. Wear your poppy with pride, absolutely. Because don't forget one thing, boys and girls. Lee and I would not be having this conversation, and you wouldn't be listening to it, if it were not for the people that made us a free world.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And I tell you, poppies, you know, people look on them as a bit of old hat, if you forgive the phraseology on it, but they're now putting them out on little art wristbands. I've got one, and I've been wearing that for the last 2 weeks.
And, you've got wristbands, you've got proper lapel. I mean, I know you chastised me for this, but I've watched the guys reporting from America on Sky News about the Obama win, and they were wearing proper pin badges with the poppy on, and they do look nice. And I've seen some of the very expensive ones that have been purchased by people working at Sky, and I commend them for it, which are all sort of star-studded and all the rest of it. And, you know, it's just amazing, and you should wear one. And if you don't like them, clear off. Don't shout at me, because they wouldn't. Anybody, everybody should be wearing one, because it what makes the thing possible to do the things that we do in the modern world. I thank you all, guys. You're wonderful. The Army Reserve is...
Can I just say something before we finish on that?
Yeah, sure.
I feel quite strongly about this. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's lest we forget. Well, we should remember the people who, like you say, have protected our freedom of speech and of life and everything. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't also, we must not forget the people who are still out there doing it for us. And that partly is what this story is about, isn't it?
Well, it is indeed. And of course, you've knocked your headphones out again. The other thing is that the Royal British Legion does do an awful lot of work with those that come back injured from fighting in different parts of the world or just looking after people in different parts of the world. But that duty is going to go over very much to the Army Reservists, who are going to become Britain's part-time army. And in truth, I've got to say, the TA, or Territorial Army as they're known, do have that role to play in the modern world. And a lot of the guys in there will actually be very high-tech people looking after high-tech areas, because they're all very clever IT people, Lee.
I have a really good friend who's in the TA. She's a captain. I think she's a captain. Anyway, she's a ranking officer in the TA. And she does a lot. She's out training all the time. She's out on manoeuvres. She's out all sorts of things. And but it does worry me. It always has worried me that we've got to hold our hands up, and nobody can deny this. We are a nation that stands up for ourselves and stands up for the rest of the world. Yeah. Some people say we're a warlike nation. That might be a bit harsh, but we do tend to go to war. Mm-hmm. And for us then to back up that kind of attitude, that saber rattling and that we will stand up for the rights of people attitude with a part-time army, sticks in the craw somewhat. It doesn't take anything away from the Army Reservists and what they do, but surely this government should be looking at the fact that we cannot continue to go on these campaigns if we only have a part-time army.
No, but that's the whole point of it, Lee. And I think this is, again, a point that so many people have been missing, and I hate to use the term modern warfare, but that's what it is. In modern warfare, you know, years ago, if you wanted to damage a building, you had thundering great blocks and sticks and all sorts of stuff. Whereas today, you know, you just sort of tap the button and it's gone. And it's a different world that we're in. And equally, the strategy that's needed for modern warfare is considerably different to that which was needed in the Second World War, for example.
It's also PR, isn't it? It's also a PR element.
There is. One simple thing. If you look at a good example is a drone. A drone aircraft flies on its own. It's like having one of the most expensive model aircraft you could ever play with. And it's got cameras on it and all sorts. It can take weapons with it. There's no human being in there at all.
And that's right.
You know, so you've got technology like that working, which there wasn't, 40, 50 years ago, clearly. And therefore, the people that you need to do all this sort of stuff is different. And they don't have to be there all the time. As long as you can, the only thing with the TA, and it's always been my concern, is how quickly can you deploy them?
But in
real terms, you've got the TAs going from 15,000 to 30,000 people, whereas the army is being cut back by 20,000 to 82,000. And I have to say that if you look at the work of one well-trained, and that's what Britain's good at, training their soldiers, if you can get one well-trained person, he can probably do the job of 4 or 5 years ago.
I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. And like I said at the beginning, I'm not decrying what the Army Reservists do. As I say, I've got, I know people in it. But what it is, also, I do believe that there is a PR, a strategy. Like Labour have accused the government of lacking what they describe as a coherent strategy in the wake of the army cuts. And I really believe this is true, that the PR, if you are a nation that stands up for the world's rights...
Yeah.
And goes to war on people that are seen or are thought to be doing things wrong, to then actually allow the world to see you as the saber-rattling country that only has a part-time army is a very, very poor mistake of in PR terms. If you are going to have it, there are other ways of presenting it.
Possibly so, but I still think those that would be idiots in the modern world will know how well trained the TA is.
They go to war on the people who were full-time soldiers, don't they? So they're gonna, that's what I'm saying. They will look at part-time soldiers.
No, but that's the point you're missing, Lee. The terrorists and the bad guys around the world will know that the TA has the same quality of training as a full-time person in the tri-services. Therefore, they're going to be as scared to death of them as they are as the full-time people. I don't think that holds water at all.
I agree with you, and I'm not missing the point on it at all. I agree with you 100%. What I'm saying is I think genuinely there is a better way for this government to present what they are doing army.
Yeah,
and like Labour says.
Well,
like
let's Labour move. Says, let's just move back in time because we are going to say a great loss to the country is the actor Clive Dunn, wonderful character, absolutely fabulous, and he portrayed Lance Corporal Jones or Jonesy as he was known, and he's died aged 82. So bless him. And starred in the film called Dad's Army. Oh, sorry, the TV series Dad's Army.
Series, yeah.
Yep. And that was, again, the kind of TA of the Second World War, where the final defences of the UK were in the hands of part-time reservists.
That's right.
That were called, you know, the Home Guard in those days, not the TA.
That's right.
And, you know, these guys had broom handles with knives on them, for goodness sake. you know, and wooden...
No, you're just helping the government's PR.
wooden guns and stuff. And from that, as something has progressed, and it is now the TA, which is the real McCoy. And be honest, there is lots of occasions, if you look back in the history books, you will find that the TA, or as then it was Dad's Army, did capture German soldiers as they bailed out from planes and all sorts of other things. And they even managed some of the prisoner of war camps in the UK as well. So there was a whole bunch of stuff that they did, and I just think that there's a lot. One of the things you said the other week about the Americans, actually, which rings true, where we were talking about the resilience of the Americans, and we kind of joked about the fact that resilience was born out of where they came from in terms of us, you know, the Brits. Yeah,
the true grit of Brits.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the true grit side of it. And I have to say that whenever I've been alongside the TA, a lot of times they've got more grit than the regulars because they really want to do something.
Of course they have. They've decided they want to do it. Yeah,
yes.
It is, yeah. And I think, yeah, but there again, this is what I'm talking about, the PR side of it. Dad's Army was a comedy show, and it was lampooning the reservists.
But it wasn't.
Naughty, naughty boys out there, don't get the impression that that's the way this army is now.
No, they won't. No, but yeah. I don't think Dad's Army actually did lampoon the Home Guard, as it was called, because although it was a comedy show, it had a whole heap of serious bits in it, messages in it every now and again.
And it was a good show.
It was good, but Jonesy, who we've sadly lost, Clive Dunn, was famously noted for his catchphrase: "Don't panic, don't panic. They don't like it up them." And he would wobble about and do all sorts of things, aged about, pretending to be about 70 or 80 years old. But he also was a pop star as well.
Granddad,
you're lovely. That's what we all think of you. Granddad. Which moves me nicely on to the final bit for this week. This is really weird, because in those sort of days of the 1970s, when Clive Dunn got to number one with Granddad, it was actually played on the UK's national pop station, the U
I'm
station.
With you, Mr. Wiltshire.
Radio 1. Well, it's
going to
it's going to end up with Radio One listener, in my opinion, if you're not careful. The most recent stunt is they haven't bothered to put the new Robbie Williams single on the A-list of Radio One, where it blasted into the charts.
But why should they? It's so did, like you just said, so did Grandad by Clive Dunn.
And they BBC Radio 1 played it.
Yeah, and they learned the error of the ways. Robbie Williams. I love Robbie Williams. I've met Robbie Williams. He's a lovely, lovely boy. He comes from just down the road from me.
Yeah.
And he's nice. And I actually believe that Robbie Williams is probably the best live performer that Britain has today. He is a stunning performer,
I'd agree
a
with
fabulous
you.
Singer, yeah. But his ability to record songs that have any durability and sustainability as classic songs is absolutely lacking. And
Angels.
You can take that in any way
Angels.
You want.
Angels.
This is a rubbish song and Radio 1 are right not to play.
That, well, it's created a bit of a furore because I said on there, I think that some that go to the BBC have their brain operation or grow old incredibly quickly. And that was all stemmed by one of the great DJs that's on Magic in London called Neil Fox, better known as Dr. Yeah. Fox in the old days, when he actually presented the Top 40, and he was called, I apologise in advance for this, he was calling the new host of the BBC Radio 1 breakfast show, Nick Grimshaw, a total knob for not playing the Robbie Williams single. Now, I'm going to do an experiment here. Here we go. Live on the wireless. Here we go. Everybody who's heard of Nick Grimshaw, put your hand up.
Me. I've got my hand up.
No, hang on, you don't count. Okay, the guy in the back there with in the red armchair, put your hand down, that's in it. Right, all those that know Robbie Williams, put your hand up now. Oh, my word!
It's the fact the song is rubbish.
They've never heard of Nick Grimshaw. Anyway, Nick actually said he'd never listened to a Robbie Williams track in his life, allegedly. And if he's the presenter of Radio 1's flagship breakfast show, I'm going to say to him, Nick, don't you tell me porkies.
How long's Robbie Williams been around?
Since
25 years?
No, 20 years.
20 years, yeah. Right? He came out of a second-rate boy band, right? He's never recorded even Angels and things
Bob
like
Dylan
that.
Bob Dylan should have written him a track, I know.
I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to say anything about that. I was saying he's not a very good songwriter.
Right, we've got to move on. We're nearly the end of the programme. Some of your comments. Ollie says, considering how the BBC has British in the name, I don't see how you could come to expect anything decent of it. Nice
I'm
one.
Surprised you're a Robbie Williams fan, Ollie.
Duncan says, straight in at number one. Good old Beeb. There should be no over the age of 40 at Radio 1, as they have no link to the needs of the young generation. Duncan says, I'm a pensioner, by the way. Radio 1, Robert says, Radio 1 should be for current top 40 music, like it was back in the 80s.
Not beat Radio 2's for that.
Just a minute. We're getting there. Okay. Well, anyway, the controllers really lost the plot over 20 years ago. I agree. Paul says, I stopped listening to Radio 1 in 1997. It has totally lost its way now with all the northern waffle and crap, rap, cack and screaming songs.
Excuse me. What? Excuse me. I have to stop here and ask Paul a question.
Yeah.
If you stopped listening to it in 1997, which is nearly 20 years ago, right, how do you know it's full of all northern waffling and crap.
Well, and he does add that Radio 1 sucks and so does Global Radio's monopoly. David says, Nick said he never heard a Robbie song before. There you go. Get real, says David Archer. Even if you don't like the go, how can you never heard one of his tracks, especially if you work in radio as a DJ? I agree. Richard's given up on music radio and listens to Radio 4. Phil Wood said Radio 1 should never really got started. He should have stayed with the offshore stations. David says, I thought this was about Robbie not being played on Radio 1's A-list. What is real radio? All I want to hear is some good music, some new, some old. Radio 2 during the day fits my bill. Wake up with Chris Evans, get good scores in Popmaster, whatever that that is, has debates with Jeremy the Big Show, with Golden Oldies and Simon Mayo on my way home.
Simon Mayo.
They all play Robbie. And finally...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Robbie's middle-of-the-road, middle-aged music.
And finally, from Ash, who I know is actually a professional wrestler in the UK, probably doesn't help that drama students are now getting radio jobs as opposed to journo students. Bunch of performing. Can't say that one. See you in a minute.
RTI.